We're going to continue and finish this morning the story that we've been looking at for the past few weeks, the story of Ruth. We'll be in chapter 4, and Carol's going to come and read that to us. Thank you, Carol.
Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I'll redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you will acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because it might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. Not today, I hasten to add. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming to your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he be famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the son of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David, the greatest king in Israel.
I've entitled this, this message, The Future Secured. As you'll be aware, if you've been following this journey, the family of Elimelech, that's Naomi and Ruth, have been through a very difficult time, but they've been emerging from that. And we now come to the point where they are able to secure their future. In last week's episode, Ruth made a nighttime visit to her guardian redeemer Boaz and surprised him with a marriage proposal. He was delighted with the request and very ready to marry Ruth. But there was a problem. He was not her nearest of kin. Someone else had a prior claim, so Boaz first needed to check with him. Now, I want you to imagine this story like you were watching it on a large screen in the cinema. Picture the scene on a big screen as Ruth, laden with seed, a shawl full of barley, moves steadily through the narrow streets of Bethlehem in the twilight of early morning, hoping she will not be seen. It is important that her nighttime visit to Boaz be kept a secret. What will become of her request to marriage? And we hear the words of Naomi, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." And then the picture fades into darkness. And as we stare at a dark screen, it begins to brighten as we see the sun coming up over the horizon. The glowing brightness revealing the surrounding countryside, and the camera pans around and we see the small town of Bethlehem. And people are beginning to emerge through the gate on their way to work in the fields. And there sitting at the side of the gate is Boaz, waiting for the guardian redeemer that he referred to earlier, watching people streaming past, and suddenly he notices the person he's looking for and calls him over. He assembles the city elders and the scene is set. We are about to discover the outcome of Naomi's request for marriage. You see, the Book of Ruth is a beautifully constructed story, and it's designed to touch our emotions as well as enlighten our understanding. So Boaz begins negotiations. First, he mentions the need to redeem Naomi's property. Presumably, Naomi had to sell her property because of poverty. And under these circumstances, the Goel can buy the land and hand it on in trust for her, hold it in trust for her. So Boaz asks the vital question, if you redeem it, do so. Only this unnamed kinsman can prevent Boaz assuming the role of Goel and marrying Ruth. And we're about to find out. And what does he answer? I will redeem it. And you can almost hear the audience shock. Did he say will? Surely he can't do that. Everything in this story has led us to believe that Boaz and Ruth are going to marry. We're expecting a happy ending. This is going to ruin it all. How can he possibly do that? And the tension continues as Boaz now raises the issue of Ruth. The need is not just for the kinsman to buy the land, but also to marry Ruth and raise up an heir for Elimelech. Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own state, he replies. Buy it yourself. And the audience breathes a sigh of relief. The happy ending that they expected is going to happen. The way is open for Boaz to act as Goel. And with great relief, the deal is sealed by the exchange of a sandal. And with great relief and excitement, he announces to the elders and the crowd that he is going to buy the land and he's going to marry Ruth. So Boaz and Ruth are married, and in time she gives birth to a son. Earlier in this series, I suggested that while the book is called After Ruth and she plays a key part in everything that happens, what we actually follow in the story is the fortunes of Naomi. And it's interesting, at this point in time, the women of the village declare, Naomi has a son. So from the end point of this story, we can look back and see more clearly that God has been at work throughout the story. So what I want to do this morning is review this story and highlight some key lessons that emerge from the book of Ruth. The first thing that we learned was about discovering God in the ordinary. Much of the story takes place at a very human level and deals with life's challenges. The plight of a refugee family fleeing from famine. That's a mouthful. The pain of sudden bereavement. The struggle to make a living. The care of a dependent relative. And remarriage following bereavement. In all of these experiences, we see God is working. In the Old Testament, God has a number of names, and the name which is most frequently used in the book of Ruth is the name Yahweh. Yahweh was a name that was particularly associated with God giving the original covenant to Moses. When he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he introduces himself in this way, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Here we have the God who by a strong arm delivered his people from the all-powerful, from the hands of the all-powerful Pharaoh in Egypt. Yahweh was Israel's Goel. He had redeemed her from slavery and given her settled possession of the land. And this same God who worked his wonders in Egypt, we see in Ruth, is caring for a poor widow, carrying her through the harsh experiences of life, giving her a future and a hope. So I want to encourage us all to a new openness to see God at work in the ordinary. Jesus taught us to pray, not just thy kingdom come, but give us a daily bread for today. So he's concerned with the everyday effects of life, everyday life, as well as the grand things in life. And the other lesson that we learned was that God works through people. I'm getting out of sequence. My slides. You should have been watching that one. The other thing that we learn is that God works through people. You know, Ruth brings out some key lessons about the relationship between human and divine action. Sometimes we consider that God's action only starts where human action finishes. But in the story of Ruth, we discover that God works through human activity. The key events move ahead without apparent intervention by God. Ruth's chance meeting with Boaz in the harvest fields. Her marriage to Boaz seems more the result of Naomi's scheming than God's intervention. And it is Boaz's skillful negotiation that secures him the right to act as Goel. And yet the reader of the story makes it clear that God is at work in the story. God intervenes at key points. God's gift of harvest sets in motion Naomi's return. And the Lord enables Ruth to conceive. You know, Ruth's previous marriage was barren for 10 years. God enables her to conceive and give birth to a son. And this correlation of divine and human action is seen especially in respect to the practice of chesed, loving devotion and loyal kindness. Loyal devotion and loving kindness. I'm really getting confused this morning. This is central to the Old Testament concept. This idea of chesed governs God's relationship with Israel, and it's also intended to govern their relationship with one another in community. And then we also learn that God works through people's kindness. The story of Ruth is a reminder to the Israelites of the lifestyle they should adopt. As we have seen, both Ruth and Boaz demonstrate this quality of chesed, of kindness. Ruth, in her decision to commit to Naomi rather than seek her own benefit. Boaz is attracted by this quality of loyal devotion. Ruth forgoes choosing a husband for the young men of the village in order to marry Boaz and secure Naomi's future. And Boaz's kind and provision for Ruth and Naomi is also seen as an act of kindness. It is this kindness shown to Naomi, the loyal devotion of Ruth, the generous actions of Boaz, that is the key to the reversal of her fortunes. Naomi discovers God's kindness through the kindness of Ruth and Boaz. And this has got implications for how we witness. Do you remember what Jesus said? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, before we finish with the story of Ruth, there is one final message that the author has for us. Can you recall the introduction to the book of Ruth? In the days when the judges ruled, and those days were characterized by everyone doing as they saw fit. We read some passages that showed you just how chaotic things had become in the country of Israel. And the reason for that was because Israel had no king. At one level, that sets the scene and points to the key themes of Ruth. God's sovereign care, in contrast to a self-centered, self-serving society. The impetus for all that happens in Ruth is the practice of chesed, loving kindness and loyal devotion. And when we look back from the perspective of the end of the book, we discover something else is taking place. The birth of Obed leads within two generations to the birth of Israel's greatest king, King David. Throughout the Old Testament, King David is regarded as the model king of Israel. And this is such an important message that the writer repeats it twice, because then he goes on to list the descendants of Perez, finishing with David. This is really what God is doing in the background in Ruth. The whole story of Ruth takes place in this larger context. The story forms a bridge from the dark days of the judges to the glorious days of the Davidic kingship. And the life of chesed, which the story of Ruth demonstrates, becomes the key to recovery, not just for Naomi and Ruth, but for the whole of the nation of Israel. Ruth and Boaz have grasped the heart of the Old Testament covenant. Living the covenant lifestyle, they get caught up in the accomplishment of something much larger. When Ruth set aside the pain of her own bereavement to care for her mother-in-law, when she sacrificed her own prospects, left family, friends, and country behind to care for Naomi, she had no idea the role she would play in God's purposes. When Boaz set his heart to care for an elderly widow and her widowed daughter-in-law, he had no idea the role that he would play in providing a king for Israel. It's amazing, isn't it? And yet something even more amazing is happening. When Matthew lists the human ancestry of Jesus, Boaz and Ruth are mentioned. Not only did they play a role in providing Israel with its greatest king, they played a role in providing the world with the greatest king ever, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, King Jesus. The king whose kingdom will embrace people from every tribe, a nation, a language, and the kingdom that will last throughout all eternity. These simple acts of kindness further down the line were part of God's plan, firstly for David, and then for the descendant of David, who would sit on the throne of David and whose kingdom will never end. And we, if we trust in Jesus, are part of that kingdom. I came across this quote, which seems really appropriate for the story of Ruth. The big doors of God's great purposes swing on the small hinges of ordinary people in the midst of seemingly mundane events of everyday life. When we live the covenant lifestyle that Jesus has called us to, the lifestyle of agape, self-giving, self-sacrificing love, when we reach out in caring for others, we have no idea the impact that that might make in extending the kingdom of Jesus. So let's do what Jesus told us to. Let's go and do good deeds that will bring praise to our Father who is in heaven. I'm going to invite the band back. And we're going to end the service by singing this prayer. It's a prayer, really, to God to build his kingdom here.